and settled. "You good, Red?" A small smile pulled on her lips, and she nodded.
"Good."
I lowered my head and circled the tip of my tongue around her nipple. Phoebe moaned and shifted on the bed. I palmed her tit, then sucked the full bud into my mouth. My cock slammed against the fly of my jeans. She tasted fucking perfect, so I took more. I sucked and licked until she started pulling on my hair, silently begging for more. Breaking from her tits, the flesh now wet and red, I licked down her torso to her stomach. My hands stayed on her hips, keeping her in place.
"AK,"
she murmured over and over. I stopped between her legs. My thumb stroked down from her hips and along the top of her thighs.
"Please,"
she begged as her legs spread wider and she bared her pussy from my eyes. Her eyes were hooded, and she was biting on her lip. "Gonna lick you, Red," I said, my voice deep and raw. Her eyes closed and a groan slipped from her throat. "You want that?"
"Yes,"
she whispered.
"Please."
Needing no more permission than that, I shuffled down the bed until my chest pressed against the mattress and my feet moved off the end. I braced my elbows down, and parting the lips of her pussy with my thumbs, leaned forward and licked a long stripe from her hole to her clit. Phoebe's hips jerked from the bed, and I had to press them down to keep her place. Her moans were long and just as sweet as her pussy as I did it again and again. I sucked her clit into my mouth, feeling it swell.
"AK,"
she murmured.
"I cannot take it. It feels...
I stopped and lifted my head. Her desperate eyes met mine, her cheeks beaming red.
"Perfect,"
she said. Her hand reached down and ran along my cheek.
So perfect.
I saw the tears build in her eyes. I saw her looking down at me like no bitch had ever looked at me before. So I licked her again. I sucked her clit slowly, carefully, listening as she began to lose her breath. Her hands tightened in my hair as I felt her clench around my tongue. Then she stilled, and a loud cry came from her chest and filled up the room. I didn't stop. I was addicted to her taste as she came into my mouth. I lapped at her pussy until her hand pushed me away. I stood and shucked off my jeans as I watched Phoebe depleted on the bed, gasping for breath. Her long hair was splayed on the pillow, wild and untamed. I kicked my jeans aside and stroked along my hard cock. Phoebe lay still and just watched me as I slowly climbed over her, gently dragging my hand over her bare skin as I did. I walked my hands up the mattress until they landed on either side of her head. I stared down at her face, not saying a thing. I just wanted to look at her. Like this. No bullshit temptress shit. No talk of cocks and fucking and wanting to take me. Just her. Like this. Nervous and shy and fresh from coming under my tongue. "Christ," I growled, and pushed my tongue into her mouth. Phoebe's hands wrapped around my neck, and she pulled me close, like the bitch couldn't let me go. I didn't want her to. I was fine, just where the fuck I was. Using my knees to spread her legs, I slipped my hips down until my cock ran over her wet pussy. I groaned as I drank her moans. Phoebe broke from my mouth and just fucking breathed. "Want you, Red," I said, my voice rough.
"I... want this,"
she said, pulling my head back so I could see her eyes. I said, "I want to take you. Want to take this pussy, this fucking bruised soul, and this heart. You good with that?" Phoebe's lips shook, and tears filled her eyes. My fucking throat thickened at the sight.
"Yes,"
she said, with a watery laugh, pushing a smile on her lips. "I want that." Her head lifted and she kissed my lips.
"Take me,"
she said against my mouth. Groaning, I pushed forward, my cock slipping inside her inch by inch until I hit home and bottomed out. "Fuck," I hissed as her pussy wrapped around me. Phoebe's head fell back on the pillow and her fingers tightened on the nape of my neck. I buried my face into her neck, inhaling her sweet scent as I moved my hips. My back and arm muscles flexed as I rocked into her, back and forth, slow and unhurried. Our breathing was deep and labored. Phoebe's hands fell from around my neck, and a breathy moan came from her mouth. I lifted my head. I needed to see her face. I needed her to know who was taking her. I needed to watch her eyes. I swallowed when I saw them. I fucking almost broke again when I saw them, brimming with tears, slow drops falling down her cheeks as I kept moving, gently, filling her over and over again, calmly, fucking softly. "A.K.," she mouthed silently. Her lashes were wet, and her lips were shaking. I felt her pussy walls clenching my dick and move my hips faster, but I never moved my eyes from hers, and she didn't move hers from me. My breathing stuttered. When I saw a flash of redness travel down her neck and over her chest, her hips rocked against mine, and fuck, it felt incredible. She wound her fingers in my hair, then slipped them down to gently cup my cheeks. Her lips parted. I felt her pussy clamp down as she came with a long, soft moan. The feel of her coming, the sight of her face and those fucking hands on my cheeks, saw me following behind. My hands balled into fists as I came, thrusting into her. I stilled, groaning, but never moving my eyes from hers. She stroked my cheeks as I relaxed my arms and caught my breath. I kissed her then, tasting the salt from her tears in my mouth, on my tongue. I kissed her and kissed her until I had no choice but to break away and take a breath. I pressed my forehead to Phoebe's and closed my eyes. I had no idea what to call what we had just done, but it wasn't just fucking. As if reading my mind, Phoebe whispered, "Making love." I reared back so my face was hovering just an inch from hers. Her eyes were wide and searching. "That was it, was it not? That was making love." I swallowed, not knowing what the fuck to say to that. Love. "I had heard talk of it before, but never believed it could be true." She smiled, her bottom lip trembling. I wanted nothing more than to fucking hold the bitch and tell her everything would be okay. "It has never been like that before, not for me. This was different. I, with you, am different. I," she thought for a moment, "I am at peace." Her eyebrows furrowed. "Does that make sense? That you bring me peace?"
"Yeah," I said. And as I watched her face, I realized she did the fucking same to me. "You give me peace too." By her huge smile, you'd think I'd just told her I was the answer to all her prayers. Fuck, I was starting to wonder if she would become the answer to mine. Phoebe traced the lines of my tattoos, then fucking blew me apart when she said,
"What if this is simply the dark before the sun?"
"What?
What if we are being held in midnight, AK? Both of us, locked in the dark of our pasts, together. And maybe we must endure the darkness for a while."
I swallowed, eyes fixed on hers.
"But then one day will come the sunrise. The darkness will end, and the sunlight will pour in. Sunrise, AK. Just imagine."
She smiled and nearly broke my fucking heart.
"We can chase the sunrise together. We can be the sunrise together."
"Yeah," I said, unable to get the word sunrise from my head. I wanted that. I wanted the fucking sunrise. I wanted the sunrise with red.
"AK?"
She pushed my hair behind my ear.
"Can we stay here longer?"
"Yeah," I said, knowing we had another week we could kill.
"Good."
So I made love to her again before we fell asleep, and not a single nightmare came calling. I woke, alone, blinking in the dark of the evening, still feeling raw from last night. and actually sharing my fucked up past with someone. I walked out of the bedroom. The cupboard had been packed away and closed, but without the lock. The spilled food had been cleaned up, but it was the center wall that had me losing my fucking breath. Two pictures hung on the wall, held up by small nails. Zane and Devin in one, and Tina, Dev, Zane, and me in the other. I didn't hear her step beside me, but her hand came around my waist from behind, and she pressed a kiss to my bare shoulder blade. "They deserve to be shown," she said softly, then moved to the counter. She took something in her hands and brought it to me. I tried to see what it was, but she was on her tiptoes and threading something over my head before I could. It smelled clean, whatever it was, and when I felt the familiar feel of metal against my skin, I knew. Devin's dog tags. My heart beat too fast, and I didn't dare look down.
"They boasted your brother's name. They fell out of the cupboard when I was putting everything back." She paused. "I do not think that happened by chance. I think it meant that you were meant to have them. Wear them. Proudly."
I couldn't speak, but almost fell apart when she said,
"You were not to blame for what happened. You must begin to forgive yourself, or how else will you move on?"
"And you?" She smiled weakly.
"I will endeavor to accept this too. I replay the memories of each time I saw her in my mind. There are not enough. I should have more. But I am beginning to understand that that was robbed from me. And,"
she took a deep breath,
"and not my doing."
"I'm fucking proud of you." Her eyes fell.
"Thank you."
Looking up through her long lashes, she said,
"I am proud of you too."
And fuck, I didn't expect the blow that compliment dealt. Phoebe walked over to the pictures of Zane and Devin.
"He looks like you and your brother," she smiled. "More like you."
"Yeah," I said roughly, still unused to talking about them all like this. "That's what Dev and Tina used to say, mini-me."
"I wonder what he looks like now,"
she mused, then moved back to the kitchen. I walked outside and started a fire in the fire pit. I sat down in the reclining chair and tipped my head to the sky, looking at the stars with Devin's dog tags around my neck. I wondered what Zane's life had been like. I wondered if he loved Claire and Tom like parents. I wondered if he remembered much of his mom and dad. I wondered if he remembered me. I wondered if he liked bikes, like me and his dad always did. My stomach sank. I wondered if he hated Dev for what he did. I wondered if he hated me.
"AK?"
Phoebe came outside, carrying something in her arms. Her face was bright and excited as she laid it on the ground.
"What is this?"
I leaned forward to see Dev's old vinyl player. "It plays music," I said, remembering how Styx and Kai had said the cult bitches didn't know shit about technology.
"It does," she said, and her face lit up like Christmas.
I couldn't help but smirk. Her hand ran over the record player, and she sighed.
"When we used to go out and recruit, when we fished the men, we always had one purpose, to seduce them. But I had a secret."
My eyebrows rose in question.
"I love to dance," she shrugged. "The brothers that took us eventually let me do it, as they said it made the men want me more. But I did not do it for them. When the music played, I lost all my worries. I lost myself."
She laughed and shook her head.
"I am a silly woman."
I got up from my seat and went back into the lodge. I found an extension cord and brought it to the player. Phoebe watched me, curiously, as I switched it on and it crackled to life. I moved the pin and couldn't help but huff out a laugh when a familiar song burst through the speakers. Phoebe gasped when the music filled the air around us.
"What is it?"
I made my way back to my seat, rubbing the back of my neck. "Bowie. Heroes." I paused. Dev's favorite song. He used to play this song on repeat, so I had put it on repeat too. Phoebe closed her eyes and swayed to the beat. Her white off-the-shoulder dress swung around her legs. Her long red hair hung in loose waves, brushing against the freckled skin as she moved. She smiled and got to her feet, completely lost in her own world. She shifted her arms in the air, and her body swayed to the beat. Her hips moved to the rhythm of the song, and I couldn't fucking look away. I lay back on the reclining seat, keeping my eyes fixed on her as she let Bowie's words dictate her movements. And I saw it. I saw why man after man would be sucked in by her. The smile on her lips widened as she danced, her pale skin looking bright white against the firelight. And then she opened her eyes. She opened those fucking perfect blue eyes, and they landed straight on me. She took hold of the hem of her knee-length dress and swayed the material in her hands as she came toward me. And fuck, but she seduced me. Bitch was dancing for me. And I knew this was just her. No tricks. No training. This was her feeling the beat and doing what she fucking wanted. Hottest thing I'd ever seen in my life. The track ended, then came back to life. She laughed when she realized it was on repeat, completely giving herself over to what she loved. Not thinking about her kid, or Lila's face, about Meister or the fucked up hell she'd come from. Her gaze locked on mine as she danced in my direction. She lifted her leg and straddled my lap. Her arms looped around my neck, and she tipped her head back, exposing her long, pale neck. Her shoulders kept the beat, and her hips ground against me. I hardened in an instant. She felt it. I could tell, because when her eyes lowered, they were leaden. Reaching down, I pulled my cock from my jeans, and lifted up her hips. I placed my tip at her pussy, and guided her back down. Phoebe's moans were drowned by the music, but she kept moving to the beat, my hands running all over her body. I watched her, as she danced, as she took me. She danced, and she danced until she came, taking me over the edge with her. Her head fell forward on my shoulder, and she laughed. I tipped my head back, catching my breath. "I like this song," Phoebe said breathlessly. I nodded and smirked. "I always did. Like it even more now," she giggled.
"I like these lyrics. The talk of being heroes."
"Yeah."
"Yes,"
she smiled, and laid her head on my shoulder. Her head kept time to the beat as Bowie sang about heroes 7 more times. "Phoebe," she lifted her head. Her eyes were tired, but they were so fucking alive. "You're moving in with me when we get back. You ain't going back to lies. You belong with me." Red eyebrows rose in shock, but then a fucking melting smile came on her lips.
"I belong with you," she said, and lay back on me, wrapping her arms around my waist.
Making love, she'd called our fucking. I thought about that, running over the words in my head. And fuck, bitch was right. She'd hooked me in. I'd taken the bait. But unlike the other unlucky bastards, she was never leaving me, because I'd hooked her in too. For good.
Chapter 17. Phoebe. 1 week later. Saphira? My feet ran over the hard ground, propelled by the racing of my heart. The man pulled her into a big building. I ran, breath stolen as I followed them inside. I choked on the smell, then saw the man touching her leg as he pinned her down on a bed and pushed potion into her arm. Saphira's head fell to the side, and her brown eyes stared lifelessly at me. Her big brown eyes, with that notable freckle to the side of the left. "Saphira!" I ran forward and took her hand. All I felt was bones and coldness. I pushed it against my cheek, trying to wake her from her stupor, but her eyes just stared. "Saphira?" I cried, feeling my heart rip on seeing her in such a state of disarray. Her legs were bruised, her face was bloodied, my beautiful baby was in pain, forced into this hell, too. Her head turned, and I stilled.
Save me,
she said, her voice broken and sorrowful, devoid of life.
Save me, mother. Remember.
Remember what? I asked, squeezing her hand, but her head lulled to the side once more and her eyes closed. I leaped forward and shook her two thin shoulders. Saphira, remember what? But there was nothing. Nothing but the echo of her whispered words.
Save me, mother. Remember.
My eyes flew open, but my body was paralyzed on the bed. Phoebe? AK's panicked voice reached my ears. I concentrated on breathing, but all I could hear was the residual echo of Saphira's dream voice begging me to help her, to remember. Remember what? I croaked in confusion, my dry throat capturing my words. AK's face came over mine, his eyebrows pulled down. Phoebe, you were having a nightmare. I blinked his face into focus and concentrated on his words. A nightmare? It was a nightmare? It felt so real. My heart reacted as though my daughter were speaking to me in real life. Sometimes my dreams felt like memories. Sometimes my memories felt like dreams. It was impossible to know which was real and which was false. I lifted my hand and stared at the palm, at the fingers. I clenched it into a fist, because I could feel Saphira's small, bony hand in my own, feel her cold, dry skin as if it were still clutched in mine. Phoebe? AK said again, then pressed his lips against mine. My eyes closed the minute I felt his comforting warmth seep into my mouth. His kiss was gentle, coaxing, and eventually my body relaxed, and I slipped my arms around his neck. It was a nightmare. It was only a nightmare. AK ran his finger down my face. You okay? I inhaled deeply, then nodded. I swallowed. I dreamed of Saphira. She was in trouble. My eyes shimmered as I recalled her pleading words. She called me mother, I whispered, my throat catching with emotion. AK's worried expression softened. We'll find her, he said. I looked at him in confusion. He shrugged. I already got someone looking. You do? I asked, barely able to believe he was speaking the truth. Yeah. He glanced away, then said, We'll find her. Wherever she is, we'll get her back for you. I studied this man with the kindest eyes there ever were, and launched myself up and wrapped my arms around him. Thank you. I held him as tightly as I could. When I pulled back, I looked about the room. For a moment, I was confused as to where we were, but then I remembered we had driven home from the lodge last night. As if reading my mind, AK said, You fell asleep. I brought you in and put you to bed. He paused. It was an intense couple of weeks. I smiled, remembering the blissful time we had spent at the lodge. The waterfall, the music, the fire, the lovemaking. Then it hit me that we had returned. I must visit Lila, I said. AK nodded. She knows you're back. She wanted to come see you this morning, but I told her to wait until you were ready. I am ready. I got out of bed. I steadied myself. I will tell her why I was drinking. I straightened my back. I will tell her it all. She deserves to know. I kissed AK's cheek and made my way to the shower. After I had cleaned and dressed, I went through to the kitchen. AK sat at the table with Asher. I started momentarily when I remembered that he lived here too. Phoebe, you remember Asher? AK said, and Asher gave me a tight nod. Yes, hello Asher.
Phoebe, Ash said, then turned back to AK. You have to see it, AK. I'll show you again. Flame couldn't believe his fucking eyes.
I moved to sit beside AK, but he took my hand and pulled me down to his lap. Asher barely batted an eyelash at the movement. I sat awkwardly on AK's lap as he explained. Been teaching little Ash how to shoot. While we were away, he hit the furthest target where we practice, like the one at the lodge. My eyes widened, remembering AK getting that target, impossibly so. Impressive, I said. Asher shrugged. I had a good teacher. I felt AK tense a little underneath me. I knew why that was. I knew that as much as he clearly adored Asher, he was thinking of Zane. Asher and Zane would not be so different in age. The nephew he never got to see. AK looked up at me. Ash can take you to Lies, then I'll go with him to the range. I leaned into AK affectionately, the action becoming ever more natural. I will walk. I glanced out of the window at the bright sun. It is a beautiful day, and I will enjoy the walk through the woods. I like to walk. You sure? He asked. I kissed his forehead. I am sure. I rose from his lap and put on my sandals. Asher went into his bedroom, and AK immediately pulled me into his chest. I lost my breath at the contact of my chest hitting his, and I laughed. His hands cupped my face. You find it hard. Tell Lie to call my cell, and I'll come get you. You hear anything you don't like and it makes you want to drink? Same thing. Call me. I'll get you. I put my hands on his wrists. I will. I promise. But I will be fine. This conversation is long overdue. I moved closer and AK's lips took my own. I moaned, as I always did when his tongue pushed into my mouth. When he broke away, I was breathless. Go, he said gruffly, before I drag you back to the bedroom and never let you out for the rest of the day. I laughed as he adjusted the crotch of his jeans. I heard a door open behind us and spun around. Asher stood in his doorway, his face scarlet red. I will see you soon, I said. We're cooking out tonight, AK said. Most of the brothers will be coming down. I smiled and made my way to the door. The minute I was in the fresh air, I inhaled deeply. I heard Asher laugh at AK inside the cabin, and my heart lost a beat in sorrow. AK was so good with him. It was a travesty that he was separated from Zane. I walked into the covering of trees and breathed deeply, welcoming the fresh air as it filled my lungs and calmed my troubled heart. The dream of Saphira that would not leave my mind. I had concealed my worry from AK, how much it had shaken me. After everything he was going through, too, I knew he did not need more worry in his life. But I could not free her from my mind. The thought of her on that bed, with the potion in her arm, her cold arm, and her calling me mother. Mother. Saphira, I said into the breeze, trying to interpret what the dream meant. Even when I arrived at the edge of Lila's home, I could not shake Saphira's words, her cries for help. The sound of high-pitched laughter made my feet grind to a halt. Grace was running from the house, Lila on her heels. Lila laughed as Grace screamed and tried to evade capture, but Lila managed to catch the little girl and lift her into the air. I stepped out of the cover of trees and saw the minute Lila saw it was me.
Phoebe!
Grace jumped from Lila's arms and ran my way. Her arms wrapped around my legs. I laughed at how rough she was, how excitable. When I looked down, her eyebrows were pulled together.
Where were you?
Bending down, I explained. I had to go away for a little while, but I am back now.
You are not living with us?
I shook my head. No. I looked up to see Lila watching, listening. I live with AK now.
Near Aunt Maddie?
She asked. Yes.
AK is your husband?
I smiled, unsure what to call AK. Of a sort, I eventually replied. When I looked at Lila again, I saw the surprise on her face.
Grace, Lila said, go read for a while. I need to talk to your Aunt Phoebe alone.
Aunt Phoebe. I liked those words. Grace did as she was asked, leaving Lila and I face to face and alone. Lila came closer and took my hand.
Are you better?
Sudden sadness hit me for what I had put Lila through.
Yes.
Lila's shoulders relaxed.
And you are with AK?
Yes, I said again. Lila studied my face. I saw more questions coming my way, but I had to tell her what I came here to say before I lost the courage.
Lila, I said, I must explain something to you.
I laughed without mirth, knowing the pain I suffered was about to rise once more. About me, and why I did what I did, why I drowned out my sorrows, about things that have happened in my life that you do not know, that I want you to know.
Okay, Lila said quietly. I heard the subtle edge of nerves in her voice. Come over here.
She led me to the chairs on the lawn. Her hand never left mine, a quiet support. And with a deep breath, I told her everything.
Phoebe,
Lila said sadly when I finished talking. Tears were streaming down her face.
Where is she? Your Saphira?
I do not know. I lowered my head. But I dream of her often. I see her in my mind's eye each day. She is always with me, yet so far away at the same time. I frowned. Last night, I dreamed she was begging me for help. She was hurt and afraid and needed me. I turned my head away to escape Lila's stare. Lila's hand squeezed mine. She called me mother. I laughed through my tears. Finally, Lila, she called me mother.
Phoebe,
Lila whispered in sympathy. But she does not even know. She believes I am her sister. I paused. But I cannot get this dream from my head. Dreams fade, become a forgotten memory. This one grows stronger by the minute.
Beauty always says one must listen to their dreams, as there is a message somewhere within them, one which we must listen to. Decipher.
Beauty? I asked.
The old lady of one of the brothers, Tank. You will meet her eventually. She is a sweet woman.
I nodded, absently listening to her explanation, but my mind was too preoccupied with what this beauty said of dreams, that dreams were a message about something. I thought of Saphira begging me for help. The potion, her hand in mine, her pleading with me to remember, trying to find the deeper meaning.
Mama?
Grace's cautious voice came from the doorway.
I have read 4 books. Can I come see Aunt Phoebe now?
I laughed at how tenacious Grace was. Even in New Zion, she had been pushier than other girls. Pushy and beautiful. But her nature muted by the repression we found ourselves in. If Cain had not gotten her out when he did, she would have been deemed accursed, and thus schooled, sexually, by an elder. An innocent child, only 8 years of age. I thanked God every day that I had hidden her well enough, that she had not fallen into Meister's arms either. He had always watched her closely, like he craved her, like he... Ice trickled down my spine. It made me remember something, something important. Lila sighed, then looked at me for an answer to Grace's question.
Of course,
I shouted loud enough for Grace to hear, as whatever bit of information was rising to the surface of my mind slipped away again. Grace sprang from the deck and ran to where we stood. She put her hand in mine and pulled me from my chair.
You know what hide and seek is, Aunt Phoebe?
Yes, I said with an indulgent smile.
We get to go into the woods.
Not too far, only where I can see you, Lila butted in.
I'll go hide first. Grace turned me around. You count to 60, then come and get me.
I heard her running away and began to count.
I know you feel guilty about what happened to me on Perdition Hill,
Lila said, interrupting my counting.
But you must know what you did for me by bringing Grace into my life. I know you are burdened with guilt, but you gave Kai and me Grace. Nothing else matters beyond that now. You made us a family.
Lila came to stand before me. I stared at her scar and tried not to disagree. Her hand pressed against my cheek.
You would have been a great mother, given the chance. You always loved me and cared for me as a child, and Grace adores you, talks of how you cared for her in New Zion when no one else did.
I sucked on my lip to hide the trembling.
And when we find Saphira again, because the hangmen will find her, you will get that chance to tell her who you are, that you love her, and she will be the luckiest girl in the world, because she will have you.
Lila, I said softly. She smiled.
And I will be an aunt. I cannot wait.
The sound of rustling leaves came from behind me, and I laughed, knowing it was Grace running through the woods.
Coming, ready or not,
I shouted. I turned from Lila and ran into the woods. Curiously, with every step, I felt somewhat lighter. Yet something dark remained in the back of my head, something out of reach that I could simply not decode. The smell of the smoking barbecue drifted into the woods. I heard the sound of laughter and felt my stomach flip in nerves. This was the rest of the hangmen, the men who had seen me that night at the bar, seducing, fishing. AK had told me of my actions that night, and as much as he told me I should not be embarrassed by my behavior, I could not help it. I paused behind AK's cabin and leaned against a nearby tree. You can do this. I took several deep breaths, and just as I was about to step out of the woods and into the clearing, I saw Kai and AK walking my way. I smiled, about to reveal my presence, but the look on Kai's face stopped me in my tracks. They've been circling for about 2 days now. They ain't done nothing but drive around the compound in a white van. Same fucking time every day, 11 a.m., like clockwork. Some built skinhead fuckers. But their clan, no doubt. Or brotherhood. I can never tell these assholes apart. Meister? AK asked roughly, and my heart felt as if it ceased to beat. Not him personally, but his men, we think. Kai laughed. Thinking they can intimidate us. Assholes. My hand shook on the tree when I thought of Meister. I closed my eyes. Images of him holding me down in New Zion came sailing to my head, of him biting into my flesh, taking me hard, nothing like how AK had taken me. Then, I must eradicate what you have seen today from your weak mind, take all of these new memories away. I stumbled when an image I had not remembered before this moment came sailing back to me. A chair of some sort, hard and uncomfortable. Meister's huge form over me as he injected needle after needle into my flesh. And I fought. I fought to hold on to something I could not forget, had vowed not to forget. I fought and I fought. But it had disappeared. There was nothing. What's the plan? AK said, breaking through my thoughts. We're watching them. They don't look like they're gonna attack, more just scoping us out for some reason. They can't see shit from the road anyway. Tanner is monitoring their systems for any red flags, but they try anything, anything at all. We kill them all, Kai said, and hit AK's arm. Just wanted you to know. They'll be looking for Phoebe. He knows she's here. Now she's your old lady, you need to fucking know. Thanks, AK said. Kai gave him a wide smile. Fucking tied down, brother, he laughed louder. And to Lai's sister, does that make us related somehow? You and me fam now, brother? I fucking hope not, AK said in response, and I could not help but feel a warmth in my heart as he laughed. Kai punched his arm, and together they walked back to the clearing. I stayed in the woods for several more minutes, just trying to calm down. Meister knew where I was? Then he would put everyone here in danger. These men did not know him like I did. My stomach dropped. Lila. Grace. He would never stop until he captured me. I knew him. I knew how far his obsession with me ran. His men would not simply be circling for intimidation. Meister always had a greater purpose. A loud burst of laughter drifted on the breeze toward me. I made my feet carry me into the clearing. Viking, AK's best friend, was on his feet. He turned straight to me. Here she fucking is, the ginger pussy who's whipped my best friend. My face paled when all the men and women stared at me. Some regarded me warily, others with kind smiles. I did not know what to do, where to go, or what to think, until... Red, get the fuck over here. AK's voice cut through the music that had started playing. I looked his way and saw him in a chair beside Flame and Maddie. Another dark-haired man with a beautiful raven-haired woman on his lap was on his other side. She was pregnant. AK pulled me down onto his knees, a move I had become increasingly used to. His lips came to my ear. You good? I turned to face him and kissed him on his stubbled cheek. I am good, I lied. Not wanting him to worry that I now knew about Meister's men. worry about the nightmare that would not go from my mind, or the fact that I was beginning to remember things about the town I was rescued from. I just wanted AK to be happy. I had seen glimpses of it at the lodge. I did not want my burdens to drag him back down to darkness. The sound of Viking's voice pulled everyone's focus again. And then this other time, AK and Flame burst into the crack house we were stealing from. Men laughed as Viking told tale after tale, and I liked hearing about AK. I liked hearing about silly things he had done in playful moments with his friend, when the weight of his past had not burdened his mind. My eyes drifted to the raven-haired woman beside me. May, she was called. I watched her cradle her stomach as she talked to Maddie. Her husband's hand lay over her bump, too, and I felt that same pit form in my own stomach as whenever I saw a mother and child. Only this time, it was worse.
Save me, mother. Remember, beauty said that we find messages in dreams. Save me, mother. Remember.
I stilled as my blood ran cold. The potion. The bed. Her beaten face. Meister telling me I would forget, that he would make me forget it all. No, I thought, my heart spiraling into an uncontrolled beat. It could not be true. She was safe, abroad. I knew she had been taken from New Zion. Judah had promised me. Judah! Judah, who had lied about so much. You okay? AK asked and turned my face to his. I forced a smile. Just tired. I shrieked as AK put his hands under my legs and lifted me into his arms. In front of everyone, he took me toward his cabin. I looked around to see them all watching us intently. My face burned with embarrassment.
You that desperate for a fuck?
Viking shouted as we reached the cabin's door. AK flipped his finger at Viking and walked into the cabin. He laid me down on the bed, stripped me of my clothes, and then shed his own. He climbed under the covers and drew me into his arms. I did not want him to see how panicked I was inside. AK was perceptive. He saw things within me that no one ever had. I needed to deflect his attention. You like Viking very much, do you not? I asked. He rolled his eyes in affectionate exasperation.
Can't shake the fucker, he replied. That night I saw Dev in the hospital, I went to a bar. I needed a drink so fucking bad. It was a biker bar Dev sometimes took me to when we were both on leave. I was sitting at the bar when that asshole giant came and sat next to me. He saw me in my marine fatigues. Fucker just smiled at me and asked, "How many of the assholes have you killed?" Just came right out and asked me.
AK laughed, and I loved hearing the rumbling sound from his mouth.
I told him to fuck off, and the fucker just laughed in my face. 5 minutes later, he got into a fight with some meatheads by running his mouth again. I was itching for a fight after seeing Dev in such a damn state. So I had his back. We knocked out 4 of the cunts in minutes. He shook my hand, brought me a drink, and asked me if I'd like to ride bikes and knock more fuckers out on a daily basis. I said yes. He brought me here, introduced me to Styx's old man, and by the next day, I was the newest prospect of the Hades Hangman. Fucker never left me alone after that day. Then you know how we got Flame out of the Nut House, and the rest is history. The Psycho Trio was born. Those two just got me from the start. Did one last tour that I'd already signed up for, then left the Marines for good. Been at this club ever since.
You love them like family, I said. Viking, Flame, and now Asher. AK inhaled and lost his humor.
Yeah. Love all my brothers here. But those two are my best friends. I'd have been fucking lost without them when all the shit went down. They kept me from spiraling down to a place I couldn't get back from.
His eyes fell.
Like I wanted to do for you.
My heart skipped a beat. You are a good man, Xavier Days. I placed my hand on his cheek. AK looked at me in surprise, and knowing he was the most special man I would ever meet, I spoke from my heart. I love you. I whispered, and saw his eyes widen. I do not expect you to say it back. I just wanted you to know that my heart is now in your hands. You have honor and pride and the kindest soul in existence. I tried to keep my voice from breaking. I tried to hide this goodbye. Fuck, Red. He rolled me onto my back, his eyes searching my face. I love you, too. My heart swelled more than I thought possible, and AK kissed me. He kissed me, and with such grace and adoration, made love to me. Slowly. Passionately. Lovingly. Afterwards, still wrapped in AK's arms, I fell asleep. And when I saw Safira in my head again, begging me for help, I took her cold, bruised hand and promised, I am coming for you, sweetheart. I will be with you soon. I stopped at the edge of Lila's home, just one more time. I had to see her and Grace one more time. Grace was playing with dolls on the lawn. A smile came to my lips when I saw Kai sitting opposite her playing with dolls too. Why the fuck am I doing this shit? He said to Lila, who was watching them happily.
Because you are her papa, and she wanted to play with you.
You want to learn how to dismantle a bike, Grace? Get your hands dirty with oil and shit instead? It'll be fun.
No, she thrust a doll at him. We're playing dolls, and Jamie Ray needs to go to the salon to get her hair fixed.
Fuck my life, Kai groaned and took the doll from her hand. Lila laughed at her husband, and my heart ached at how perfect they looked. She had found it. True happiness.
Or, Grace sang, we could play hide-and-seek again.
Again? Lila said in exasperation. What is it with you and this game?
It's my favorite.
Done, Kai got to his feet. Anything but this doll horse shit. I backed away from the edge of the backyard when I saw Grace head toward the woods to hide. I dashed through to the path, never looking back. I knew it would be nearly time if Kai's information had been correct. I kept running until I broke through the trees and onto the edge of the road. There were no cars or trucks yet. It was quiet, so I stood and waited. I fought my nerves. I knew what would be waiting for me. But I had to do it. AK would be safe, and I knew she was there. The dreams were too real to be dreams. He had her. I knew it. Something in my gut told me I had to find her. I had felt something click into place last night as AK slept, holding me close. A truth that I knew was real. He had her. I heard the sound of an engine coming from the bend in the road and took a deep breath. A white van, the one Kai had told AK about last night, approached. I steeled my nerves. This would be my only chance to get Safira. Kai had said they came once a day. This was my only chance. AK read me too easily. If I left it any longer, he would know something was wrong. If I told him what I had remembered, he would never let me do this. But I would not risk his life or the lives of his brothers. I fisted my hands in an effort to stifle the trembling. The van came to an abrupt stop. A man I did not recognize came out of the van, smiled, and shook his head. I did not know him, but it was obvious he knew me. He quickly looked around the woods suspiciously.
It can't be this fucking easy.
I tried to take a step back. A gun was suddenly aimed at me. Two more men coming out of the van with their guns out, too. Get in, the first man ordered, and another man opened the back door of the van. Terror held my legs in place, and I stayed rooted to the spot. The man nearest me lurched forward, wrapping his arms around my waist. I held back my instinct to scream for help. My captor dragged me toward the van. We were only a step from the back doors when I heard a sound that made my body jerk in horror, and the blood drained from my face.
Found you, Aunt Phoebe!
I turned my head, only to see Grace burst through the trees and stumble to a stop at the edge of the road. Her blue eyes widened when she saw me in the man's arms. Run! I screamed, sheer terror seizing control of my body. Run, Grace! Run! A hand slapped over my mouth, stopping my frantic order. Grace turned, face pale, and moved to run back into the woods. She had barely made it 5 yards before the second man had grabbed her by her hair and slammed his hand over her mouth. She fought. Little Grace fought, kicked and thrashed against her capture, but the man was too big and too strong. I tried to break free. I scratched and clawed at my captor's arms. Then the end of a gun plowed into my face, making my vision blur and my head spin.
I was thrown into the back of the van, my cheeks smashing against the hard floor with a thud.
Aunt Phoebe!
I lifted my head, ignoring the lights dancing across my vision to see Grace being thrown in beside me. I scrambled to where she was and took her in my arms.
Grace,
I said, tears beginning to pour down my cheeks.
Who are these men? I thought we were playing hide and seek.
We'll be okay, I said, not knowing what else I could say.
Call Meister. Tell him we got her,
one of the men said as they slammed the doors shut and plunged us into darkness, all except a small light above us. I heard the front doors open and close and the engine turn on.
Aunt Phoebe?
Grace's small, scared voice asked from in my arms. Come here, sweetheart. I pulled her into my arms.
You're bleeding,
she said, and I heard her voice tremble. I smiled.
I am fine. Where are we going?
I held Grace tighter, fighting back my tears.
It will all be fine,
I said softly, knowing that every word was a lie.
I will not let anything happen to you. I swear.
Then the van drove away.
Chapter 18. AK.
AK, you here?
Someone was hammering on my cabin's door. I got up from the table and opened the door. Tanner stood there, rocking on his feet.
She here?
He asked as he came inside. Phoebe?
Yeah.
No, she's gone to see Lila. Why? Tanner pulled a sheet of paper from his pocket. He held it in the air. Ash came out from his bedroom looking on. No such thing as a fucking old folks home in that cult. My jaw clenched as Tanner sat down. I sat down opposite and waited for him to continue.
Though I found a Saphira, age 14, blonde, brown eyes, 90 pounds, 5'1".
I frowned, wondering how he knew so fucking much about her. Where? He slammed down the paper and pushed it toward me. It was a spreadsheet, like an inventory or some shit. Shipping forms. To Mexico, private accounts.
Meister ain't just trafficking these bitches as hookers in the ghost town. The asshole is selling them. He gets them, uses them as whores, then ships them to Mexico to be sold to who the fuck ever for what the fuck ever.
Tanner pointed to a row on the sheet.
Saphira. Cult bitch. Sold by Prophet Cain, Judah, to Meister months ago. Meister has reels and reels of these order sheets, and he's making a fucking mint selling these whores off to some dick in Mexico. Saphira is getting shipped out soon. She's on his latest form. I felt the anger sweep through me like a storm. Guessing the date Meister purchased Saphira is about the time Judah told Phoebe he'd sent Saphira to the old people's home, yeah?
I nodded, unable to speak. Then I got my shit together and slammed my fist down on the table. She was in that ghost town, with her, all that time. She was there with Phoebe, and neither of them fucking knew it. Drugged, out of their fucking minds. Then the storm turned into a motherfucking hurricane, and I was there. I could have gotten her out, too. I pushed my chair back, jumping from my seat. Fuck! I roared and ran my hands through my hair. We gotta tell Kai and Styx. I need to go back in. I need to... The door to the cabin flew open, cutting me off. Is Grace here with Phoebe? Kai was fucking panting, his face red, breathing fast. No, my eyebrows pulled down. Phoebe's with Lila. Kai shook his head. No, she ain't. I've been with Lai all morning. Phoebe never came. As his words hit me, I felt my breathing sound in my ears. She said she was going to Lila's. Kai stared at me. We got cameras on that fucking road, right? Kai took in what I said. Fuck. Grace disappeared playing hide-and-seek in the woods. I didn't think any further, just pushed out of my cabin and jumped on my bike. I heard my brothers do the same behind me as I raced up to the clubhouse. I jumped from my bike and ran through the door. Hush and Cowboy were in the bar. They were on their feet in seconds.
What's wrong?
Hush asked. I heard Kai and Tanner and Ash run in behind me.
Cameras!
Kai shouted and ran behind the bar to the small side room where the security cameras were. Smiler came to work the monitors.
What you want to see, and when?
Perimeter Road, about 2 hours ago, I said, thinking of when Phoebe left. I looked at the clock on the wall and felt my blood turn to ice around 11 a.m. Kai stilled and looked at me. When those fuckers would be on the road. Smiler scrolled through until he found the footage, and we saw it there, before us in grainy black and white, Phoebe walking out of the woods, standing on the edge of the road. Waiting. She'd been fucking waiting for the fuckers. What the fuck? Bulging veins almost broke from my neck when I saw one of the fuckers grab Phoebe and drag her back toward the car. Then out of the woods came Grace. I watched Phoebe's face as she obviously heard her. I saw her mouth open and scream something. Fuck! She was telling Grace to run. I could read it on her lips. But the asshole holding her slammed his hand over her mouth, then bashed her head with the gun. She sagged forward, fighting consciousness. Another Klansman took Grace before she'd even reached the edge of the woods and threw them both in the back of the van. They drove away. There was a heavy silence. Get the prez, Kai eventually said to Ash. Words ice cold. Get fucking everybody. His tone was too calm, and with Kai, that meant he was about to fucking blow. Tanner ran out of the room to the office where the computers were held. Fuck knew what he was doing, but I couldn't move. I was raging, seething, fucking growing, killing mad. I just stared at the rerun of Phoebe standing on the edge of that road, then being knocked the fuck out. Bitch had been giving herself up. She'd been going back. Why? Why? I lost my grip on my anger. I picked up a chair and threw it across the room. Arms wrapped around me from behind, and suddenly flame was in my face. Calm the fuck down.
We'll get her back, Vike said in my ear.
Brother after brother came running into the bar. Then Lila came bursting in, tears pouring down her face. She ran to Kai. We'll get her back, I swear. Kai said to his old lady. I watched Lila. I braced my body, prepping for anyone to dare and fucking lay blame at Phoebe's feet. Lila looked at me, and I was ready, braced for a fucking fight. But then she said,
She said something to me yesterday. I have thought a little else since Grace went missing.
Lila's voice was thick with emotions. She shook her head.
She told me everything about her past, and she said she also had dreams.
One in particular where Saphira asked for her help. A dream where Saphira was being drugged and held down by a man, just like Phoebe had been in the ghost town.
I remembered her nightmare. I remembered her holding her hand out in the air when she was still asleep, calling out Saphira's name, gripping someone's phantom hand in her own.
She remembered. I felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up. She fucking remembered that Meister had her daughter, too. Lila's head fell in disbelief.
Is it true? He has Saphira?
I nodded. Just found out.
She will never forgive herself that Grace followed her and was captured by those men.
And fuck, Lila was right. If things went to shit, if we didn't get them back...
We'll get her, Vike said, clearly seeing what I was thinking.
Church. Kai ordered. We piled into church and took our usual seats. Sticks burst in, face full of thunder. The fucking hangman mute was out in force. With the slam of the door, church was in motherfucking session. 4 hours. 4 hours of waiting for Tanner to find something. 4 hours driving myself insane, wondering why Red hadn't told me what she suspected. That Meister had Saphira.
Why the fuck hadn't she said shit to me?
I would have helped. Boots came rushing into the room, and I got to my feet. Hush and Cowboy pulled their bandanas off their faces.
Nothing, Hush said.
Cowboy nodded.
Gone. Everything was cleared out. Fresh tire marks on the ground, so they haven't been gone long. About 3 large vans, I'd say. A couple of trucks, too.
I sank down on my seat. Kai was pacing the room. Where the fuck would they have gone? I remembered Tanner's sheet on my kitchen table. Mexico. Sticks and Kai looked right at me.
On the sheet that had Safira's name on, an order sheet or some shit, it had Mexico as the destination.
The door opened, and Tank and Tanner came in, Bull following behind.
Drop off tomorrow over the border, some isolated farming community about 20 miles out of La Cruz.
Tanner read the notes in his hand.
Buyer meets them there and...